rectangle.
Yeah, my first question would be about the whited shade of pale.
Oh,
of course.
Of course, but
sorry
I wanted
about
to
that.
Know. I wanted just to know if it was a blessing or a curse. A blessing because it brings you a lot of things, but a curse because sometimes people just focus on that song instead of a whole set of album you did.
Well, it is. It will always be. Let's say disappointing. I mean, it's not. What happens is that people like A Whiter Shade of Pale. That is one of the great mysteries of life. The whole world likes it. Now, I'd much rather have that than have something which the world didn't like. So, what it's always done, it's opened up doors. I think if somebody... I can't imagine anybody liking that song and then seeing Procol Harum and not liking Procol Harum. And then if they listen to A Salty Dog or Grand Hotel on these albums, or our latest one, they will become Procol Harum fans through and through. Not just A Whiter Shade of Pale, but everything else as well. So it's not, did you say a cough?
A curse.
No, it's not a curse. It's not, we say, a millstone round your neck. No, it's one has to be grateful for anything that comes your way. And that was a very big thing that came our way when we started. And I've always been very happy about that.
And I've read as well that, you know, in some music journalists and writers, says that you, the way you include classical music and in your composition, that in a way you influence it by the, what they call progressive rock movement. Were you aware of that, that you were changing, maybe changing music, and some people, other people are being influenced, and then in the late 60s, early 70s, people doing more...
Well, in the late 60s, and we've always continued on the same path, from the very start, we wanted to do something that was a bit different. If you remember, well, you won't remember, nobody remembers that long ago, but in 1967, we'd had 4 years, it doesn't seem long, we had four or five years of little pop groups, you know, four guys smiling and doing 2.5 minute long song. Very good, some of them, of course. You know, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, Small Faces, you know, there's some great music there, but we just wanted to go somehow further. And we always wanted to progress as well. This is before there was a word called progressive rock. But, you know, each album, each composition even, was to do something different each time, to move forward, to progress. And that led us through many, many different types of playing and types of music. In, we've always had a little... I've always been a classical music fan of certain sorts of classical music. And quite often they'll just put in a little bit, you know, of something somewhere, or it might even inspire you in a song, you know. We've used everything from Holst Planets, Suite 2, Rodriguez, Concerto Tanque, anyway, whatever it is. So, you know, it's just like little tiny references now and again. They inspire you and they lead on to bigger ideas. And also, there's a little something in there. Somebody goes, well, I sort of know that. I mean, I think even on our new album, we've had a little reference to Pack Hillbell's Canon, which is, you know, been overdone many times, but we've finally finished it off, I think.
One question. Do you intend to continue to collaborate with Pete Brown?
Early days, because you know we finished our album. It was finally mixed and out. Well, it actually came out beginning of March. But it's still quite fresh. We've just done a long tour promoting it, so it's still the most important thing we have at the moment. And I think it would just take a few months of sitting around doing nothing to think. Let's go and do that again.
It's about time we did something else now.
Yeah, about time we did another one, rather than wait 14 years.
Yes. Well, it's better than that.
But the ideas on this album are so strong that, of course, they take 14 years to invent.
To mature. Yes. One more question was, who holds the right to the name of Proper Harum? Is it you? I mean,
it belongs to the
people. Yes. That's a very, very Marxist attitude. Because I remember I read an article back in the 70s, either with you or Keith Reid, who said, as long as Gary and I, or I and Keith, continue writing together, there'll be a Proper Harum. But since
that's not true.
Not anymore. So if Keith Reid said, I'm going to start a group called Proper Harum with another musician, would he have the right to do it? Not that I suppose he's going to, but...
Would he have the right to do it? I'm not sure about that. But I'm not sure it would sound like Proper Harum either.
Probably wouldn't, no.
No.
But would the name belongs to you, the right to the name. It's like the Beach Boys, the name belongs to Mike Love.
Does it?
And not Brian Wilson. That's why the Beach Boys tour without Brian Wilson. Which is a bit difficult to understand.
Yeah, well, I think those are the kind of things that do crop up sometimes with people. I mean, you're talking about legal
things.
You know, music is not about that.
Not really,
no. No, music should be about music, and that's that. Hmm. Or, you know, or songs.
Hmm. Yeah, that's okay.
Good. Sorry.
It's okay.
And listening to Shine On Blackly, it seems that it's been released before Abbey Road. And I've read as well, you will tell me if it's true, that the structure of Shine On Blackly, that the song they merged together, have been an influence on Abbey Road, the second side of Abbey Road, because of the way the songs are merging together and that sweet.
Well, of course, the Beatles stole a lot of our ideas. So did Led Zeppelin, so did Queen, so did ABBA.
Yes.
I've always thought, and in fact Pete Townsend told me that, Shine On Brightly with that sort of 20-minute suite there where it's all joined together. Mm. He said that he wouldn't have done Tommy unless he'd kind of appreciated that idea of doing that. Of course, Tommy is a vast extension of that because it's what it is, but it's nice to think that it may have helped
it
come about, yes. I don't know about Abbey Road, I'll have to re-listen to that because a few people have mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to have a listen to Abbey Road in a different way.
To see if it's...
To hear the...
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to check the release date as well. When it was recorded, yeah. Mm. And it's strange because in... You stopped Proper Harum about 77 when punk was happening, and it seemed that people weren't interested in Proper Harum anymore, or less people. And then in the 90s, and until now, there was more and more people getting interested again in Proper Harum, new people, as when younger people were weren't born when it was first started. And then we have a critical reappraisal. So, how do you analyze that this circle? I mean, you know, being now, then being judged irrelevant, and then being appreciated again. And
I think that 1977 was a strange year. Well, it was a strange year for Procol Harum. It was a strange year for pop music, if we call it that, or rock music all around. We actually suddenly thought that we had gone full circle when we made our 10th album. We just thought, we've gone full circle here. And we just stopped playing. But at the same time, there was punks were on the rise who seemed to have an adverse reaction to singing properly or having a nice tune or... you know, anything, you know. It was a complete opposite of what Procol Harum was, really. We never spat on our audience. I never threw myself into them, either. And also, disco had suddenly come out of wherever, you know, and that was huge. But while we were making our 10th album, which we thought we'd gone full circle, maybe it was time to stop, actually, not to have a rest, to actually, that's it, goodbye, we said. But, I mean, the Eagles were in the next door studio to us in Miami making Hotel California. And that.
Yeah.
They managed to keep going.
Yeah. You weren't a punk fan, I suppose.
Pardon?
You weren't a fan of punk at all.
Very few bits did I like. Well, I was actually a bit against the... I was against the whole movement. Although, you know, much to my shock, Chris Thomas, that had produced like 5-6 Procol Harum albums, he didn't produce the last two, but he did all, you know, the five before that, Grand Hotel and Edmonton and etc. He was producing the Sex Pistols.
Yes. Yes. not difficult to do, I imagine. So.
Well, he just he had a good objective view, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
And going back to the late 60s, when, you know, in... especially in London, in the swinging London, everything was happening, the creativity in music, but as well the counterculture. Were you did you have time to follow that, or were you just only focused on your music, on the spirit of the time, was because were influencing you in a way, or?
We were part of it. We were part of that great change in London culture and English culture, that suddenly it all got mixed up together, that music and groups and fashion and art, suddenly we were all together. Doesn't matter if it was a newspaper, I don't mean a daily newspaper, I mean, I can't remember what they were called.
The International Times?
Yes, like International Times. Films that were coming out, you know, everything was kind of working towards this, some similar thing, which is what it was actually, was expanding out and becoming, you know, psychedelic. I don't mean drugs, but psychedelic being mind expanding and seeing things beyond everything. The whole culture of everything was like that. We were just part, we were in there somewhere.
Yeah, you were part of it. Yeah.
Well, we started it.
That's true.
Let's do something different.
Yes.
Let's express ourselves.
It's a fantastic period of the time.
It was four or five years,
everything transformed. The techniques in the studio improved.
Oh, everything got better very, very quickly.
People started to play their instruments themselves and not rely on session musicians.
Yeah, but it was a good... Mm.
And the music changed as well, because, you know, before, I mean, the music industry was asking you to make radio-friendly 2-minute songs, and then it seems that the record label decided to let a little bit more freedom to the artist, because you were able to make longer suite, and no, it was not single only anymore, but whole album.
Well, the record companies suddenly discovered that you didn't have to tell groups what to do or what songs to sing. They could actually think it all up themselves. And let's let them have a free rein, you know. So you were able to make, you know, as in on Shine On Brightly with In Hell Twas In Eye, that was 20 minutes long. I mean, the American DJs on the FM radios absolutely loved it. But of course, what it was that they could put it on and go outside and get a cup of coffee and a donut. And come back, and it was still playing.
Practical approach.
And I've seen as well that you that Procol Harum have played with mythical bands like The Doors and Love. Do you have memories of playing with these bands, or maybe other artists of the 60s that you have? Was very apart from the obvious Beatles, but
sorry, who was the person you said?
Love and The Doors.
Doors.
Sorry for my pronunciation.
Well, we played in the late 60s, start of the 70s, especially in America. Well, one of the first concerts we ever did with Procol Harum in London was with I can't remember who was on it, but it was certainly Procol Harum and Jimi Hendrix. And some of the festivals in America, of course, were always full of, you know, be it Dr. John or Richie Havens, the Turtles, you know, lots of people. And also the promoters, particularly Bill Graham in San Francisco and New York, he will put on bills of artists, you know, usually three, and they would be vastly different. I mean, you could end up with Ravi Shankar, Tiny Tim, and Procol Harum.
Tiny Tim and Procol Harum are quite different.
And it was actually, people were coming because they liked music.
So, I wanted to know if it was some communication band, our artist, is there some artist you have a particular relationship with because you, maybe in a, not only on a musical level, but on a personal level?
I think what happens is sometimes, I mean, just on a one night basis, you just go, hi, it's great to meet you, yeah, I love your set, you know, and appreciate. I mean, if you didn't like the band that was on, then you just didn't talk to them. And they didn't, if they didn't like you, they didn't talk to you. But now and again, you, yeah, lots of bands. I mean, it is a giant brotherhood. And even if you've never met somebody from another group, if I said who I was and he said who he was, then we're buddies straight away. Because we're just, it's a big brotherhood. I think we've had good relationships with artists now and again, and we've ended up touring with them, playing with them somehow. Actually, we were very close with Tiny Tim for a while.
Yeah.
We were very close with Leo Kottke, who's an American guitarist. We were very friendly with Little Feat. And we used to play with, you know, double bills with them a lot. Once we went to somewhere like, I can't remember if it's Chicago or Cleveland, and we'd sold half of the house. We were playing, and the same down the road, Little Feat were playing, and they'd sold half the house. And within 24 hours, we managed to get the whole thing together when we both of us played in one place and it was sold out.
Yeah, Little Feat was...
We've got 5 minutes now.
Yeah, so 5 minutes left, yeah.
Five, yeah.
I mean, I was thinking of a Grand Hotel, were you... did you have nostalgia for a time you didn't know, like the early 20s, the Art Deco, or the...
I think you can always... Yes, I have a good imagination. I can imagine what it would have been like to have lived in the Prohibition. I can imagine what it would have been like to have jumped up and down dancing in the 1920s with the Charleston or something. And I can imagine what it must have been like to have been one of the Knights of the Templars in the Crusades in 1400. It's just, you know, I like to imagine all these things. And I mean, Conquistador, which I just have this vision of the Spaniards, you know, attacking and robbing the South American Indians or Central American. And all they wanted was gold and silver. It's just, you know, it just builds up images if you think about it.
So were you influenced by some books, maybe adventure books or writings? Is there writers that you particularly like and that maybe influenced you?
Not what the written word. Nah.
No.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
And the Bible.
Okay, and maybe one last question. About your new new album, it's funny because the cover is reminiscent of your first Procol Harum cover. Is it a way to say that it's a full circle between the very first album and the very last one? There's something that makes sense.
I think that. It's probably a cover when you look at it. If you knew the slightest bit, if you'd ever bought a Procol Harum album, you'd probably know that it was a Procol Harum album if you blocked the name out as well. If you blocked the Procol Harum out of the corner, you might think, that looks like a, could be a Procol Harum album. I hadn't seen that one before. But it's, I mean, it's a good piece of artwork. It is a bit nostalgic, but we've only been nostalgic in the cover, I think, rather than...
Rent
the
music.
The music, we hope, is progressive.
And new.
New. Well, it is new. Mm. Yes, it's a, it is a new idea, which is what Novum means, I suppose.
Mm. Yes.
Latin. Pigeon Latin. Yeah. I don't know the word for... Argo.
Argo
Latin.
French, but we're not allowed to say that anymore.
Oh. And just the very last question, what's your, you know, it's a classic question, but it'll be interesting for people. What's your plan for, because you start a long, stop a long tour, so probably some time off, but you have any ideas for the future of Popular Room?
Well, I don't... Program has always lived for the moment, a little bit. We've never been, from the moment we started, we've never been very good at forward planning.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a worldwide number one a couple of weeks after we released it, and we didn't even have any proper clothes to wear on the television. We weren't quite ready. In fact, we hadn't even decided on who the drummer and guitarist was either. So. There's never much forward planning, but all of, I mean, of course, we are touring at the moment with our new album, and we're going to continue at the end of January as well. But I think that we, all the band, would look forward to getting on and doing something else new as well.
New material, yeah.
Well, new material, but you never know what that new, something new might be. Mm. Who knows? Everybody else has done everything, you see. I think we should probably steal Pink Floyd's production manager because you could do a very spectacular presentation with a lot of the Procol Harum music.
Yeah,
visually speaking.
Yeah, visually speaking, yeah. So thank you very much for your time. And,
That's a great pleasure for me because I've met two of my heroes. Now you and Roland Clare, because
Roland Clare.
I've never met him before, but we've both come from Bristol.
Well, he is a hero, Roland Clare, of course he is.
We corresponded.
Yeah.
I helped him. I said, why don't we do a top 10, of top 50 of all the Procol Harum songs? Everybody can contribute their favourite 10.
Democratic?
Yeah. There are lots of protests about you can't just stick to 10, you have to choose 50. Oh. I said, but you can, but many people don't, you know 50 of a 10. And as I did the same on another musician, Pete Atkin, you've probably heard of, but... And the favourite song was A Salty Dog. It wasn't The Greatest Shape of Bale.
No,
the fans prefer A Salty Dog.
That's a sort of a... Yeah. I'm not going to say a white shirt, but no, I'm going to say something different. And everybody says that, and therefore they end up with A Salty Dog.
Yes. Yes.